Good evening. It's good to have an opportunity this evening to come together to worship the Lord, and it's good to be able to study from a portion of God's Scripture this evening. I will be speaking this Wednesday evening in Franklin, the announcement that Brandon made earlier, on enemies of the cross. The church there has been having different speakers on Wednesday nights over the past few weeks on the subject of Christianity, various topics and subjects involving Christianity, and I was asked if I would speak and deliver a lesson on the enemies of Christianity. And so this evening, I wanted to present this lesson to you that I will be presenting next Wednesday night, Lord willing. And in preparation for this lesson, enemies of the cross or enemies of Christianity, I just asked some of the members of the church here, if you were given an opportunity to speak on that topic, what comes to your mind when you think of enemies of Christianity? What comes to your mind? And different things were mentioned to me, and I was interested in seeing what individuals thought about that. Of course, maybe one of the popular things that comes to our mind might be a religion that is very militant, a religion that is against Christ, or a religion that might harm others for being Christians. That certainly might come to mind as an enemy of Christianity. But an enemy also might be something that is not so noticeable. An enemy of Christianity might be something inside of us, such as laziness or indifference or apathy. And so there's a wide range and a wide spectrum of things that might come to our mind. And this evening I want to look at this subject then of enemies of Christianity. And in Philippians chapter 3, when I began to think about this topic, the statement that Paul makes here, enemies of the cross, came to my mind. I'm trying to think, what approach might I take? There are a number of enemies of Christianity. There's a number of things that could be talked about. How might I approach this subject? And I began to think about the fact that Christianity is centered around the cross of Christ. And when we learn about the cross, when we find someone that is opposed to the cross, then we have an enemy of Christianity. You can't have Christianity without Jesus Christ. And you can't have Jesus Christ as a Savior without the cross of Christ. And so what I thought I would do then is look at some statements in the New Testament that deal with the cross of Christ and some principles that come out there. And if we were to find individuals opposed to those principles, then we would find then enemies of Christianity. Jesus, of course, when preaching on this earth, had enemies himself among the Jews. There were those who hated him. There were those that were contrary, that said things and did things contrary to his will. They would not follow him. On one occasion, they wanted to throw him over a hill. On other occasions, they expressed their dislike for him and ultimately put him on the cross. Those beginning on the day of Pentecost who preached Jesus Christ, the apostles and others, they had their enemies among the Jews and the Gentiles. We find, for example, that James is beheaded in Acts chapter 12 and Stephen is stoned to death for preaching Jesus Christ. And so those who follow Christ and those who preached him and stood for him, they had their enemies as well, even beyond the Jews, including the Gentiles. There have always been those who have been opposed to the teaching of Jesus from the very beginning. I think of at the very beginning of Jesus' life when he's born in Matthew chapter 2. What did Herod want to do with the baby Jesus? From the very beginning, there were those who were opposed to him all the way through his life and even today. Who is behind all of that? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. The devil is clearly the arch enemy, the enemy of enemies. In Matthew chapter 13, in discussing the parable of the tares, the sower goes forth to sow the seed and he wants a good crop, but the enemy comes and sows tares, which is basically weeds. He doesn't want that crop to produce, and we find that the individual behind that in Matthew chapter 13, verse 39, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. And so we find that the devil doesn't want the Word of God to grow. He doesn't want Christianity to flourish and prosper. And anytime you can get a bunch of weeds growing in your yard or your garden or your flower bed, they're going to choke out the good that is there. And so the devil is behind that, and he is the enemy. In Acts chapter 13, verse 10, I think about Paul going to the island of Cyprus, and he's trying to preach to the proconsul there. And there's this sorcerer named Elymas in Acts 13 and 10, and he's trying to keep the proconsul from hearing the gospel and obeying the gospel. And Paul strikes him with blindness, and he says, "You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness." And that's certainly true, that the enemy and the devil are connected again there in Acts 13 and 10. And so anyone who doesn't obey the gospel and anyone who doesn't want others to obey the gospel are certainly doing the devil's bidding when we are opposed to Jesus Christ and the gospel. And if you were to think of an individual in the New Testament as being, the devil aside, one of the greatest enemies of Christianity, who would you think of, especially in the book of Acts? Who would you think of as an individual who persecuted the church and went far and wide to get Christians and persecute them? I think about the Apostle Paul being one of the greatest enemies of the cross before his conversion. Before Paul was converted, before Paul became a Christian, he was opposed to Jesus Christ. He was adamantly opposed to him and those who followed him. But you know what? One of the greatest enemies of the cross, one of the greatest enemies of Christianity, is converted and becomes a friend of Christ. And what's interesting about this lesson here this evening is this, that we're going to talk about the enemies of Christianity. We're going to talk about those who are opposed to Jesus Christ. And we're going to find in Paul's life that each one of these principles applies to him. That he was willing to go from being an enemy to a friend in each one of these principles that involves the cross. Paul himself made a change. He had a turnaround in his life. And as we sang in our first song this evening, "My stubborn will at last has yielded." Paul was an enemy of Christianity when his stubborn will was in the way. But at last it gave way to the will of God, and he submitted to the will of God. In Acts chapter 9, Jesus says to him, "You're kicking against the pricks or the goads. You're bucking this. You're fighting this." And in time, he changed and was converted. And so we're going to find that Paul, from his own mouth, shows us how to go from being an enemy to being a friend of Christ. Turn with me now to Philippians chapter 3 in our scripture reading. Here we find the basis of our lesson, because Paul talks about those who are enemies of the cross. They're enemies of Christianity. To be an enemy of the cross is to be an enemy of Christianity. And we find some things about them right here in this passage that I would like for us to look at. Notice in verse 17, the Apostle Paul gives the standard by which we are to walk. We're not to look out on the world. Look at verse 17. "Imitate us." We're to follow the apostolic example. We're not to walk after the world. And then the Apostle Paul says that there are enemies of the cross of Christ. And beginning in verse 19, he's going to mention some characteristics of these individuals. Their perdition, the god is their belly, they glory in their shame, they mind earthly things. Look at it, for example. Starting in verse 17, Paul says that they are to imitate and walk after the apostolic example. We're not to look out on our culture and on our world today. That would be the enemies of Christianity. We're to look to the Word of God. We're not to look to the world for our example. There are many enemies of the cross there. We are to look to the apostolic example. We are to look to those who are following Christ in the New Testament and around us today. Look in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. "Be imitators together of me," Paul, "and mark them that so walk, even as you have us for an example." There were those in Philippi that they could look at. Mark them, that is, other Christians, other followers. And the word "mark" there means, we get our English word "scope," like a telescope or a microscope. Focus in on them and use them as an example. They are following Christ. Don't look at these others out in the world that are enemies. And then look at verse 18. He said, "For many walk, of whom I told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Notice, first of all, Paul said, I've spoken often about this. This wasn't some isolated case. This wasn't some random case. This wasn't some situation where just every once in a while Paul had to talk about the enemies. They're so prevalent that often he spoke about them. Of course, we see that even in the world today. Number two, he said that he had to do this weeping. Listen, tonight's lesson is negative in nature, but we get no joy in speaking about these matters. It's not fun to speak about these matters. Paul said, I did it weeping. Sometimes we have to talk about enemies of Christianity. And there is certainly no joy in that. It is sad when people are opposed to the cross of Christ. It is sad when people are going to be lost eternally in hell. And so Paul said that I had to do this often, and I had to do it weeping, because he was concerned about their lost soul. And he was concerned about anyone who would go against Christ. And then Paul said that they are enemies, and he gives some characteristics. Look at verse 18. First of all, he says, for many walk of whom I told you. We're not talking about one person. We're not talking about five people. We're talking about many. There are many who are opposed to the cross of Christ, even in Paul's day, and they're even greater in number today. We're not talking about isolated incidences. We're not talking about a little small pocket of resistance. But all over the world, there are those who are opposed. And they are in our society, they're in our community, they're in our culture today, and we have to be mindful of them. Jesus said that there are many who are traveling the broad way that leads to destruction, Matthew 7. Secondly, Paul says, whose end is perdition. The word there means destruction or loss. These enemies of Christianity that we're talking about this evening, they're going to be lost. Their end is perdition, eternal destruction. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 1, 8, 9 that all who obey not the gospel, they will suffer destruction from the presence of the Lord. And when the Lord comes in flaming fire, they're going to reap His vengeance. And so that's a serious matter. We certainly don't want to be an enemy when the Lord comes again. Third, Paul says, whose God, small g, is the belly. In other words, they serve themselves. And we're going to talk this evening about selfishness. Selfishness can be an enemy. Let me state right here at the very beginning, before we go any farther, that let's not get in our mind that an enemy of Christianity is someone who's got a gun in their hand and they're spilling blood. No, listen. Do you realize that simple selfishness can put us in a position of being enemy of the cross of Christ? We don't have to have a gun. We don't have to have an ounce of hatred in our body. We just simply don't want to obey Jesus Christ and follow Him. That right there can put us in a position of being at odds with the Lord. So put out of your mind any idea that, well, I'm not an enemy of the cross because I'm not carrying a gun and shooting people in the name of my religion. Now, those are certainly enemies, and we'll talk about those individuals. But I can be someone who simply resists the will of God. I am not doing what God says. I just simply do what I want to do. I'm an enemy of the cross. Paul says in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2, that grievous times will come, and many will be, look at it, lovers of money, and then he says, lovers of self. I just want to do what I want to do. And then, fourth, Paul says, whose glory is in their shame. Paul says in Ephesians 5:21 that people do things in darkness. It is even a shame to speak of. They glory in their shame. Look at our culture. Is there anybody in our culture today that glory in the immorality that they're engaged in? We see it in Hollywood stars. We see it in homosexuality. We see it in all kinds of things where they engage in something that is shameful and they glory in it. And they want you to glory in it. And people applaud it. And people back it. They glory in their shame. It used to be a situation where when it was done, boy, that is wrong and you shouldn't do that. But in our culture today, it's being extolled as a good thing. And these individuals are doing that. Take the terrorists. who kill people in the name of religion, including Christians and others, and they've got those guns, they're just shaking them over their head. They glory in their shame. Look at us. It could be immorality, it could be killing or fighting, and it could be a number of other things that when they get done with it, they are glorying in that. From God's standpoint, it is shameful and wrong, but they are just simply glorying in it. And then last of all, Paul says here, of the characteristics of the enemies of the cross, he says, number five, they mind earthly things. Their mind is on what they want and the things of this life, not on the things of Christ. Turn earlier in the book where Paul is talking about how that Timothy served him well in the gospel, and he contrasts Timothy with others around him in verse 21, and he says, "For they all seek their own things, not the things of Jesus Christ." Look at that. Well, I'm not an enemy because I don't carry a gun and shoot people. If I just simply seek my things instead of the things of Jesus Christ and what He wants for me, I'm an enemy of the cross. I need to bring my life into conformity to God's Word and God's will and God's way. Now, let's turn our attention to enemies of Christianity. And like I said before, when a person is an enemy of the cross, they are an enemy of Christianity. And now we want to turn our attention to the cross. There are four principles that I want to look at this evening that involve the cross. These are four principles that God wants us to know about with regard to the cross. And when someone runs contrary to these principles, they are an enemy of the cross, they are an enemy of Christianity. The first principle that God wants us to learn from the cross is that the cross, listen, the cross brings mankind together in one body, one church. It is a church that is built by Christ, Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I will build my church. And the cross, when Jesus died on the cross, He intended to bring men and women from all societies, all walks of life, together in one body. The way of Christianity is the way of a unified body of Christ. Turn with me to Ephesians 2 to get this point. When someone is opposed to that, they are an enemy of Christianity. When someone is opposed to the one true church, the one church that Jesus built, the one body that is brought together in the cross, when they make their own religion, then they are an enemy of Christianity, because they are an enemy of the cross that seeks to bring people together in a unified body. They don't want one unified body, they want their religion. And we have thousands of them today. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 16. What is accomplished in the cross? Latter part of verse 15, that He, Jesus, might create in Himself of the two one new man, so making peace, and might reconcile, that means bring people together, both in one body unto God. Look at it, through the cross. The cross is bringing people together in the body of Christ. It's peace, verse 15, not division, not confusion, not turmoil, but peace in a one unified body through the cross. Now, when I'm promoting and propagating something other than that, then I'm an enemy of the cross. I'm an enemy of Christianity. So how does that work itself out? Well, if we're going to promote something other than that one body, then we're an enemy of the cross. All religions, all world religions that do that. Judaism says, no, the way to salvation is not through the church of Christ, the church that Jesus built, but through the old law. Islam says, no, it's not through Jesus Christ, it's through Muhammad and the Quran. Buddhism says, no, not through Jesus Christ, but Buddha and the Vedas and other things. That's an enemy of Christianity. Listen, we're hearing a lot today about how that these religions are peaceful. No, they're not. First of all, that just runs contrary to common sense, where we see terrorists acting in the name of these religions. But even if they didn't pick up a gun,
The peace is through the cross. And if I'm promoting something other than the cross, I'm not promoting peace. We've equated peace with not picking up a gun. Listen, when I preach something other than the cross, I'm not promoting peace. I'm promoting trouble and turmoil and division. And I don't have to pick up a gun. Peace is through the cross. Buddhism does not want to have anything to do with the cross. Do you realize that the religion of Islam said that Jesus didn't even die on the cross? Someone took his place and they suggest Judas or somebody else. But he didn't even die on the cross. Islam is opposed to the cross.
What about Protestant denominations? All the hundreds of denominations that have come since the 1500s. We have friends in the Baptist Church and in the Methodist Church. And I'm going to put Churches of Christ up here as well. It doesn't matter. We're not exempt from this. We can be just as guilty of this. But when we promote something where we have a name and a doctrine that divides and we will not give it up and be a simple New Testament Christian, we have plans of salvation that are different. We have work and worship that is different from the New Testament church, and we will not give them up. We are promoting man-made religions. We are an enemy of the cross, and we don't have to have an angry bone in our body to do it. Somebody says, well, how can my Baptist friends and my Methodist friends, and how can members of Churches of Christ be enemies? I thought enemies were full of anger and hatred, and they hit people. No, we can just simply be a part of and promote a man-made religion. Churches of Christ included. And the reason I want to emphasize that, because I'm seeing more and more of that among Churches of Christ, doing denominational things. And I mentioned in the Bible class this morning that I was reading about a book just this morning about a woman teaching at Abilene Christian University, run by Churches of Christ, who is promoting the idea of equality in the church for women's roles, including women preachers and women elders, when the scripture is clear that those are male roles. So we're not exempt from this. We're promoting man-made religion. Catholicism, following a man-made head on the earth instead of Jesus Christ. Or what about pagan religions? Wicca being one of the fastest growing religions in America due to the programs on TV and movies and Harry Potter and other kinds of things that are promoting witchcraft. These are enemies of the cross. Why? Ephesians 2:16. One man through the cross. But Catholicism and world religions and Protestant denominations and even Brethren and Wicca and everything else, they're saying, no, we can have a man-made religion and still be right with God. No, we can't. We have to be one body, Ephesians. Through one body through the cross. Not many bodies. Not many ways. And so the first enemy of Christianity then is man-made religion. And I may have been raised in a man-made religion, as some of you here this evening were and came out of that. But I need to leave that. I'm an enemy. I am opposed to the peace and the unity that is through the cross, and I'm simply holding on to that man-made thing that I want. You think about Jesus in Matthew chapter 15. He confronted the Pharisees, Matthew 15, 8 and 9, and he said, you teach as precepts the doctrines of men. They wanted to hold on to their man-made doctrines, and they wouldn't come and follow Jesus. The first enemies of the cross, the first enemies of Christianity, are those who become a part of a man-made religion and just won't get out of that. And some Churches of Christ have and continue to head in that direction. But like Paul, who left his religious background and became a Christian, we need to do the same. We need to be truly converted. We need to leave that. As long as Paul was promoting his Phariseeism, his Jewish background, and not coming to Christ, he was an enemy of the cross. There's no argument that Paul was an enemy. Why? Because he was in a religion that promoted in part his own man-made rules. Some of it came from an Old Testament background. Some of it came from man. But he was willing to give all that up. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 29, when Agrippa said, "You would almost make me a Christian," Paul said, "With little or much, I would, that you would become such as I am." What did Paul do? He was converted to Christ. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. He was an enemy before his conversion. But he got out of that man-made religion. He got out of that man-made background. And he left that. And he became a friend of God and an upholder and a promoter of Christianity. And we need to do the same if we find ourselves in that same situation. He talks about in verse 5, as touching the law, a Pharisee, as touching zeal, persecuting the church. He was an enemy. Philippians 3:6. As touching righteousness, which is in the law, found blameless. Howbeit, what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. I'm going to get out of that. I verily count all things to be lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. I'm just going to become a simple New Testament Christian. I'm going to leave behind all of that other. Paul himself shows the way of how to leave the idea of being an enemy and become a friend of God. Enemies of Christianity are anyone and all who are part of man-made religions. Because the cross, Ephesians 2:16, is about one body, one unified, peaceful body. Man-made religion is about division. It's about segregating. It's about staying separate. And somebody says, "Well, no, we're all one in Christ." Well, let's test that. Talk to your friends and ask them if they will give up their denominational name. They won't do it. Let's say if you have a Presbyterian friend and you said to him, "Will you give up your Presbyterian name and start calling yourself a Lutheran?" "No, I'm not going to do that." But they'll say something like, "Well, names don't matter. Names don't mean anything. We're all one in Christ." No, they do. Let's test that. Give it up. Stop calling yourself a Presbyterian and start calling yourself a Lutheran. "Well, I don't want to do that." You see, names do matter. They'll say something like, "Well, names don't matter. And all of this, we're not divided, we're unified." Well, if we're all unified, then let's just all practice and preach the same thing. "Well, we can't do that." No, in reality, there is division. Man-made religions, in reality, and if we'll just be honest with ourselves, promote division. And your friends, being honest, they won't give up that denominational thing. But we must, in order to cease being the enemy of Christianity. Number two, enemies of Christianity are those who preach something other than the New Testament gospel. Any false teaching is an enemy of Christianity. How do we know that? Well, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 1. When I teach something other than the New Testament gospel, I'm an enemy of the cross. The second principle that God wants us to understand from the cross is, it's the cross that is the basis of gospel preaching and gospel teaching found in the 27 books of the New Testament. It's called the Word of the Cross. And when I preach something and teach something other than the Word of the Cross, I am an enemy of Christianity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." Let me explain that for just a moment. Some of our denominational friends say that baptism is not necessary for salvation because look at verse 17. Christ did not send Paul to baptize people, so baptism is not important for salvation. Read the context, friends. Paul is talking about what his mission was. He's not saying baptism is unimportant. His mission was to preach. He baptized people, verse 16. Read verse 16. If baptism is unimportant, why did Paul baptize those folks mentioned in verse 16? Baptism is necessary for salvation. Baptism doth also now save you, 1 Peter 3:21. Paul's mission was to preach. Whether or not he actually physically put someone under the water or not, that was secondary. That's what Paul is saying. His mission, his focus was to preach the gospel. Yes, baptism is necessary. But in verse 17, "Not in wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made void." Verse 18, "For the word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." People who don't want to obey the gospel, they just think it's foolish. But unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. Romans 1:16, the gospel is God's power unto salvation. Notice how it's called the word of the cross. On down again in verse 23. "We preach Christ crucified." The second principle of the cross is that the cross is the basis of the New Testament teaching. And any time I preach and teach something other than that, I am an enemy of the cross. I'm an enemy of Christianity. Now, here's another point that we need to make. Somebody says, well, an enemy of Christianity is someone who's got a gun and he's killing people. Or an enemy of Christianity is someone who is filled with hatred and is physically hurting somebody. No, all I need to do to be an enemy of Christianity is stand up and preach something that is outside the word of the cross. Turn with me to Romans chapter 16 and verse 18. And there's a lot of that going on in our world today. Romans chapter 16 and verse 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them or identify them that are causing divisions and occasions of stumbling, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and turn away from them. Look at this. For they are such as serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. Have you heard that before? Philippians 3:18, heard that before? They serve their own belly, whose God is their belly. They're serving themselves. And by their smooth and fair speech, they beguile the hearts of the innocent. Look at verse 18. They serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. What are they doing? They're teaching something that is contrary to the doctrine which was delivered, verse 17. The New Testament gospel that Paul had delivered. Some are coming along with smooth and fair speech. They're not serving Christ. You don't have to be a militant extremist to be an enemy of Christianity. You simply have to be someone who doesn't preach and teach the true gospel. All errors that are taught are enemies. We have errors on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. We have errors on the plan of salvation. People are saying that you can be saved in all kinds of different ways. The work and worship of the church. False science or pseudoscience is being propagated on us. Unbelief, there is no God. Atheism, just ignorance, a lack of understanding the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God. Thy Word is truth, John 17:17. We're listening to everything but the gospel. There are a lot of enemies of Christianity out there because there are a lot of people teaching something other than the Word of the cross. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 11. Paul came to Jewish people in the cities and the areas of Galatia. They were preaching something other than the gospel. Chapter 1, verses 6 through 9 is called another gospel, and they're going to be accursed. Look at what he says here in verse 11. Brethren, if I still preach circumcision, he's saying these Judaizing teachers are saying you have to be circumcised in order to be saved. Paul's saying, if I preach it like that, why am I still persecuted? He had left that behind. He wasn't preaching that anymore. Circumcision in order to be saved. Then hath the stumbling block of the cross been done away. What's the stumbling block of the cross? You know what that is? The stumbling block of the cross is preaching the gospel the way it's supposed to be preached. And that means saying that you don't have to be circumcised in order to be saved. That's a stumbling block to a lot of Jews. But I'm going to preach it. I'm not going to take away the stumbling block of the cross just to kind of save my hide, Paul says. I'm going to preach the New Testament gospel, and if that means me being persecuted, fine. The stumbling block of the cross is the gospel that teaches you have to be saved through the cross of Christ without circumcision. 1 Corinthians 1, many people stumble over that. Paul says, I'm not going to remove it or change it just to fit in with the crowd. Look at chapter 6 with me, Galatians 6 and verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. When we preach the New Testament gospel, we're going to be persecuted. And there are some who are afraid of persecution, so they try to change the message. Chapter 1, 6 through 9. They try to teach another gospel, and Paul says they're going to be accursed. There are people who are changing the New Testament teaching. And we're seeing that among churches of Christ today. This is not a matter of finger pointing toward our denominational friends. We can be just as guilty of this if we're not careful. and we're seeing it among churches of Christ today, where we're caving in and we're changing the Bible teaching to accommodate denominational errors and trends and build numbers. And so churches of Christ have caved in on instrumental music. Churches of Christ have caved in on offering the Lord's Supper on Sunday only. They're offering it on other days of the week now. Churches of Christ are now having women preachers and elders and deacons, when 1 Timothy 3 says that the elder is to be the husband of one wife. The author of this book that I'm telling you about says that Paul nowhere mentioned in the New Testament that it's limited to a man. I thought the word husband limited it to a man. No, we're going to teach something other than the New Testament gospel so that we can fill our agenda, whatever that is. More numbers, less criticism from the denominational world, whatever their agenda is. That's an enemy of the cross of Christ. Paul says in Romans 16, 18, that when you teach something contrary to the doctrine with your smooth and fair speech, you serve not Jesus Christ. Underscore that. And it doesn't matter if it's called Abilene Christian University, you're not serving Jesus Christ. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians 2, 2. What did Paul do? Well, he started off being someone who was adamantly opposed to the gospel. Look at Saul of Tarsus, or Paul, in Acts 8, 1. What is he doing? They're laying garments at his feet to stone a gospel preacher. They're stoning a gospel preacher, and Paul is consenting to his death, but he makes a change. And you know what he does? He says, look, now I'm all about preaching nothing but the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2, Paul said, I am not going to preach anything but Christ and Him crucified. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Look at this. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and in my speech and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom. I'm not going to preach something other than the gospel and make it sound good. I'm just going to stick with the old Jerusalem gospel. But in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of gift of men, but in the power of God. That's the gospel. Paul was simply going to preach the gospel. No error. No human wisdom that sounds good. That idea that men and women are created equal, and Paul nowhere limits it to a man. That all sounds good. That's all human wisdom. It all sounds good. But search the Scriptures and you will find that that's not so. Yes, men and women, of course they're created equal. Genesis 1, 26 and 27, we're all created in the image of God. That's not the point. The point is there are different roles for the man and the woman in marriage and in the church. It has nothing to do with equality. It has everything to do with roles. Of course we're all created equal. We're all of the same value. We're all of the same worth. But we have different roles in the home and in the church. Paul simply wanted to preach the gospel. Number three, we can be an enemy of the cross through selfishness. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8. There are several passages here that tell us that when Jesus went to the cross, it was a selfless act. The third principle that God wants us to learn from the cross is that of sacrifice and selflessness. Why did Jesus go to the cross? Because in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, that's selfishness, but thy will be done. What's the cross all about? Selfless behavior, sacrifice. So, when I'm selfish, I'm an enemy of the cross. I'm an enemy of that principle of sacrifice. What made Jesus go to the cross? Well, He loved mankind. He sacrificed for mankind. And look at Philippians 2, verse 5. He came out of heaven. Look at all that He had in heaven. Look at what He gave up in heaven. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ, who existing in the form of God, counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped. The Greek word there means selfishly held on to. Here He is, up in heaven. God the Father says, I want you to go to the earth and die on the cross. He didn't selfishly hold, no, I've got heaven. I'm not going to give that up. He emptied Himself of that grandeur and glory, not of deity, and came to this earth. He didn't selfishly cling to that. emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. All these other passages say, beginning in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 38, that we're supposed to take up our cross and follow him. Being a Christian means sacrifice and selflessness. Do you remember back in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 18, one of the enemies of the cross, whose God they're bowing down as if their self, whose God is their belly, meaning what I want? Now here's where we bring in some interesting things. I asked one of the members, if you were to preach on enemies of Christianity, what comes to your mind? And it had nothing to do with terrorism. It was things like not putting God first in my time, and being taken up with the things of this life. What is that? We need to be careful about selfishness. What I want. What makes me feel good. What makes me happy. Laodicea, the church at Laodicea in Revelation 3 was lukewarm because they were just consumed with things. Their priorities were wrong. We're supposed to put the kingdom first. Matthew 6:33. Some are self-satisfied. I don't want to worship God regularly. I don't want to be converted. I'm happy in my life. Some, like Diotrephes, 3 John 9 and 10, are putting themselves before the Lord. All those things which would put us in front of God, where we're doing what we want, is simply making us an enemy of the cross. Not Jesus. The cross was about a selfless act. Christianity, the way of Christianity, is the way of self-denial. And any time I'm not going to deny myself, I'm an enemy of Christianity. The pathway of Christianity is a road and a path of self-denial. The road to the cross was a road of self-denial. Not my will, but thy will be done. That's what took him all the way to the cross. That's the way of Christianity. And that's the way it is supposed to be today. Paul illustrates that. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Before Paul was converted, when he was an enemy of Christianity, what was it about? Me? And I want to get permission from the leaders to go get some Christians and bring them back here to Jerusalem. It's what I want. Look at it. Acts 9, Acts 26, Acts 22. I verily thought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I verily thought, this is what I want. You thought wrong, Paul. You were wrong. Before he was converted, he was doing what he wanted. After he's converted, look at Galatians 2:20. It's not I that live, but Christ who liveth in me. So he gave himself up to completely turn himself over to Christ. Selfless. And from that day forward, the Apostle Paul worked for Christ, not for himself. The way of Christianity is the way of selflessness, and anything other than that is an enemy. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours, the way of Christianity is the way of separation from the world. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. The cross, there's one last principle that we need to learn from the cross, and that is, a cross is where you die. Romans and others use a cross to kill people. And when you die, there's a separation. There's a separation from this life. You're no longer a part of this life. There's a separation. There's a separation between the soul and the body. So the cross becomes a symbol and a principle of separation. And the cross is used as the dividing point between walking in the world and being worldly, and being separate from that and walking in the service of Christ. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, speaking about having been baptized into Christ, Paul says, knowing this, that our old man, before we were baptized into Christ, before we were converted, and Paul knows full well about the old man. I'm wondering if he's thinking about himself right here. That old man prior to the Damascus Road. The old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, that we should no longer live in the bondage of sin. For he that hath died is justified from sin. But if we died with Christ, that's not talking about physical death, brethren. That's talking about the death in baptism, killing the old man. We're going to separate ourselves from that old worldly man. I'm not going to talk, dress, think, and act like that old worldly man. For if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall live with Him. So the cross then is the way of getting rid of that, crucifying that old man. But anyone, even after we become a Christian, and James 4 is written to Christians, anyone who would live worldly would then be an enemy of the cross, because we're reviving the old man. We're bringing him back. What are some enemies of Christianity? Yes, terrorism and things like that, absolutely. But what about sexual immorality? What about materialism? What about idolatry? What about covetousness? What about improper language or dress? Or a host of other things that you can think of that are wrong. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. And then we're going to turn to Galatians chapter 6. Somebody says, well, I'm not an enemy of the cross because I'm not going around killing people like Paul did or like terrorists do. So I'm not an enemy of Christianity. Well, wait a minute. The way of Christianity is the way of crucifying the old man. And I'm not supposed to walk in the works of the flesh. What about simple, and I say simple because I mean it's easy to commit. What about, look at verse 20. What about simple faction, division, and strife? So here I am in a church. I'm not carrying a gun around shooting people, but I'm causing division. I'm causing strife. I'm backbiting. I'm causing problems in the church. I'm engaged in verses 18, 19, 20, uncleanness, lasciviousness, drunkenness, fornication. I cannot inherit the kingdom of God, verse 21, if I do those things. Come on down to Galatians 5, verse 24. They that are of Christ have crucified the flesh. If I'm on Christ's side, I've crucified those things. I don't engage in those things. If I engage in those things, I'm an enemy of Christ. That's why it's very important even for us as brethren to understand. When you hear enemies, when I was first assigned that topic, do you know what my first thought was? Enemies of Christianity? That's terrorism. It is. But it's also simple division in the local church.
Yep.
So I can be just as much an enemy as a terrorist. So what do I need to do? Look at Paul. He's the example. Chapter 6, verse 14. Far be it from me to glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. Through which the world hath been crucified unto me, and I unto the world. I'm the way of Christianity. I'm not going to be a part of that worldly life anymore. I crucified myself to that. It's something that we all have to learn, especially when it tries to creep back in our life. We've got to keep that old man down. Well, the lesson is yours. Are we enemies or friends? Paul was an enemy before he was converted, and all of us are, before we obeyed the gospel. While we were yet enemies, Romans 5:10, Christ died for the ungodly. We are enemies. I want you to think about that. That is a position we don't want to be in when the Lord comes again. We want to encourage you this evening to respond to the gospel before it's everlasting too late. Listen, you don't want to be an enemy of Christ when He's sitting on the judgment seat. Mm-mm. We don't want to face God in that position. We need to obey. And like Saul of Tarsus, who humbly came into Damascus, and when he was told by Ananias to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins, he humbled himself and stopped resisting. He stopped fighting. He stopped being an enemy and gave in and served the Lord. He obeyed the gospel. All the Lord's enemies one day will be put under his feet. It's interesting. All of these statements are mentioned that Jesus will reign until all of his enemies are put under his feet. No, the enemies of Christianity are not going to get the upper hand. The Lord will always be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They're not going to get the upper hand. And keep that in mind, brethren and friends, when we look out on our society, There are some very difficult things that are going on in world events. And there are some things that absolutely involve terrorism. But you keep in mind that the Lord has got all of them under His feet, which is a symbol of conquering. In the ancient armies, when the army was victorious, the commander would come up and put his foot on top of the defeated army. It's a symbol of defeat for the enemies and victory for Jesus Christ. And so we want to be on the Lord's side. We certainly don't want to be an enemy of the cross. Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do what I command." Like Paul, let's just simply do what the Lord says in all of these areas. Number one, let's simply be a member of the Lord's body, not a man-made religion. Number two, let's simply be content with preaching the New Testament gospel, no matter how tempting it is to teach something else that might be popular today. Let's simply be selfless, not selfish. And let us separate ourselves from that worldliness that is so easily introduced to our life around us. Let's be a friend of Christ and not an enemy. And if we can encourage you to do that this evening, if we can encourage you to make that change, we certainly do that. And we encourage you to come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.